Blog Talk Radio.
The Yankees have won 3 in a row. The Mets have won 11 of their last 13. We discuss the All-Star game and make post-All-Star predictions. We have all that and more coming your way next on the 53rd episode of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is actually the 52nd episode of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff, but there will be a 53rd episode, and hopefully a 54th episode, too. And we're going to keep on going, at least through the summer, and probably through next year while Mark's in college, and I'm still here in Jericho. But anyway, back to the show. I'm Evan Brandoff, and welcome once again to a very special show, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. A lot happened this week in sports, the All-Star game, the Mets and Yankees playing well, so New York fans are happy right now. Isn't that right, Mark?
They are happy. As I said at the top, Mets have won 11 of 13. They won the game after the All-Star game, lost two, and then won again today. And the Yankees have won 3 in a row since the All-Star break. Mike Mussina pitched well again. Andy Pettitte pitched well today after a few bad outings. Jobber Chamberlain pitched well the other day, innings one run. And New York fans certainly are happy. But before we get into that, I want to rewind a little bit, talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game. And Evan, I know you were at the Home Run Derby.
Yes,
what did Josh Hamilton's shots look like from where you were sitting? And where were you sitting?
Well, it was actually pretty scary, Josh Hamilton's monster home runs, just they were all coming right at me. I was in the right field bleachers, and it was amazing. Just, I don't know if you've ever been in the bleachers, Mark, during a regular season game, but during the Home Run Derby when every single ball is coming at you, some people almost died. It was crazy out there. A guy in front of me caught two balls, the guy behind me caught a ball, the guy next to me caught a ball, but unfortunately, I did not.
Not aggressive enough?
I just didn't want to die.
Oh, okay.
The people that did get the balls, they came out with gashes in their legs and arms, and just wasn't worth it. I could just go and buy a ball, or, it would have been cool, but there were so many home run balls, but that if you say you got a home run ball from a Home Run Derby, it's just like, okay.
Fair enough. So what was the atmosphere like at the stadium?
It was...
Can't hear you.
Hello? I'm doing my talk, so I didn't...
And Evan has some technical difficulty, so we'll get the atmosphere in just a moment. But really a great All-Star game. Josh Hamilton in the first round, 28 home runs. He ended up losing in the championship round. He was a little tired. Justin Morneau.
I'm sorry, I'm back.
The trophy. Evan is back. So what was the atmosphere like at the stadium?
Oh, well, at first it was quiet, especially when Three Doors Down was playing in the beginning of the Home Run Derby. They actually received some boos. Absolutely no one wanted to hear them. They just wanted to get to the action. It was pretty funny. Like, I was in the bleacher creatures, which is by far the harshest fans in the ballpark, and they started playing, it was, boo, where's the baseball? And it was probably a big waste of money for Yankee Stadium, but they have money to spend. And then during the Home Run Derby, it started off a little bit slow, it was going fast, but then Hamilton stepped up there, and he just put on a show. And I'm just curious, Mark, who do you think was more tired, Josh Hamilton or a 71-year-old pitcher?
Yeah, that was very interesting. I think the pitcher was fine, though. He's not throwing it too hard. He's not, he's not really laying it in there. But It is tough at 71 years old, and I give him a lot of credit for doing that. I believe his name was Craig Counsell. And Josh Hamilton and Counsell certainly were on the same page that night. But unfortunately, Hamilton, even though he deserved to win, did not get to win. So I know that people were booing three doors down, but what was the atmosphere like during the Home Run Derby and as Josh Hamilton started to hit home runs? And did you feel like there was a sense of boredom almost after Josh Hamilton hit so many, like they were just expecting it?
Not at all. The opposite. Everyone loved it. Just think about it. You're going to a Home Run Derby. You're going to – Mark, when you go to a Home Run Derby, oh, this guy's hit too many. I just want him to stop already. Of course you're into it. You want him to keep hitting more and more. You don't he already has 20.
One of the experiences I had with the Home Run Derby was I was watching it on TV.
Well, that's
because
you're
Berman,
a weird baseball fan. If you want to see them stop hitting home runs at a Home Run Derby, come on, he's in the Home Run Derby. Can't he stop already? We get it.
And what Chris Berman said was, and he was sitting behind the bullpens in left field, he said that the fans, to him, they didn't seem like they were cheering as much anymore. They start to get bored. So that is why I asked the question based on the broadcast of ESPN.
Well, at least not where I was sitting, it wasn't boring, because every single home run ball was coming right near me. So at least not to me, it was boring. But he was a lefty, so it was exciting for everyone around me. But I wish he did end a little bit earlier and save some energy for the later round. And they need to change the Home Run Derby rules.
Yeah.
It goes on way too long. Who needs a 3-hour Home Run Derby? And the person that deserved to win didn't even win.
I agree. Can't argue that. Now let's talk about the All-Star Game before we spend all night on the Home Run Derby.
It's been 7 minutes.
Thank you. Well, do you have anything else to add?
No, it's all right. Go on.
Okay. Now, I have to admit something with
I do have something else to add. I'm sorry. It wasn't a great Home Run Derby, but other than Hamilton, there were no big sluggers. It should have been. I don't understand why the big hitters don't say yes to the Home Run Derby. Like, Jason Giambi, I understand. He didn't feel like he deserved to be in it. But how much better do you think the Home Run Derby would have been if hitters like Albert Pujols was in it, Alex Rodriguez, and Ryan Howard? It would have been such a better show. But the hitters like this always say no, they don't want to ruin their swing. And if you look at the numbers, there's never been a batter, really, that had a worse second half than first half after entering the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, the biggest problem is that people say that that the Home Run Derby does ruin their swing. And it's not that Jason Giambi didn't feel he didn't deserve to be in it. He felt he didn't want to be in the Home Run Derby unless he made the All-Star team, and he did not make the All-Star team, so that's why he wasn't in it. He certainly felt he deserved to be there. I mean, he's a great hitter, and he knows it, but he didn't want to be there unless he was selected to the All-Star team. So that was the deal with that. But that All-Star game, now, I have to admit something. I'm usually away for the summer. I'm usually up in Pennsylvania. I usually don't get to catch the whole entire All-Star game. I'm able to catch a glimpse of it, but overall, I do not see it that much. But I have to say that out of everything that I've seen, last Tuesday was probably the most entertaining All-Star game ever. I mean, it went into so many innings. They were running out of pitchers. I mean, it was really an unbelievable game, and it really settled in to me. It really kicked into me that it was a great game when the owner Navarro was thrown out of the plate by Nate McLaus. I mean, that just showed you that the greatest players were there. Yeah, it was really an unbelievable game, but the American League did come out on top. Evan, what are your thoughts on the All-Star game?
It was awesome. Started out a little bit slow. I didn't know if it was going to stay slow, but it just shows you that great pitching always beats great batting. When you have all-star pitchers and all-star batters, the pitchers are going to win. And until baseball teams start figuring that out, you see every single year the best pitching rotations win. So even though the pitchers weren't even giving it their all because they wanted to save their arms, they still shut down the batters for the most part. And the defense shut down the batters, too. There were some amazing plays.
Except for Dan Uggla.
Yeah, I'll go Sox. It was finally his chance to show everyone that even though he plays for Florida, Florida has a good player. And he blew it. Three errors. It was just horrible.
And that shows you that he's just that type of player that might not be good in big situations. I mean, you think of how good of a player Dan Uggla is, and if some team that's more competitive than Marlins, a team that gets into the playoffs almost every year, I mean, it kind of shows you might not want Dan Uggla there, because in the big spot at Yankee Stadium with 55,000-plus fans watching, he didn't play well. So Dan Uggla did not show that he could play well under pressure. And another thing that I find interesting about the All-Star game is, you know, everybody wants to start in the All-Star game, but it's really the guys that come in after that get to play the most. I mean, the guys
that
came in
after... Well, not always.
Well, not always. I mean, a game that can always go 15 innings, but I mean, a lot of, you know, you'll have the starters go 3 or 4 innings, and then you'll have other guys come in, and they potentially, like on Tuesday, they potentially could get the opportunity to play 6 innings. And, you know, and you're the guy, even if you don't start... You don't even play that many innings. You're the guy that's coming up in the bottom of the ninth who could potentially get the game-winning run. So it's almost better not start because you get those opportunities at the end of the game.
Well, yeah, but still, I don't know if you noticed, but by the seventh inning, the stadium was almost like empty.
The problem is on a Tuesday night, the game starts so late.
Yeah,
it didn't start until 8:45.
The average ticket must be like $450. I don't understand. Why go if you're going to leave in the seventh inning?
I completely agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. But at the same time, you can't blame them. I mean, you can't stay. People
can't
have
blame
work.
Them.
people have work the next day. They can't necessarily stay there till 10. I'm not arguing with you, but in their defense, I mean, you can't. You got to get up early the next morning and. You can't necessarily afford to stay there the whole game.
Yes,
but,
you can afford to stay there. If you can afford a ticket, you can afford to stay there, Mark. So
Well, they can afford a ticket because they have jaws, but if they slack off at the job, they're too tired, they don't show up, and they get fired, then they don't have money anymore. So that's a bigger price to pay, in my opinion.
Anyway, I recommend watching those games on TV anyway. It's more exciting. You get to... Because when you're at the game, usually, generally, if you go to a game, the only reason it's fun is because everyone in the stadium rallies behind the team, the chants. That's what makes it fun going to the game. But when you're at a game when there's no one team to cheer for, like, I don't understand why not just watch it on TV.
Well, you know, a lot of fans obviously there who are most of them were Yankee fans. You're rooting for the American League because you want home field advantage in the World Series. So they were getting behind the American League teams. And, you know, they were booing Wagner, which is fine. And what was great for Yankee fans is Wagner blew a save and Papelbon gave up a run as well. So that, I mean, Yankee fans just had a ball with that. But it's fun to go get behind the American League team or the league of your choice. And, you know, they go with that. I don't think that anyone there was not really rooting for a specific league and anyone was sitting there being bored. I mean, anybody who's a fan of a somewhat competitive team, and as I said, most of the fans there were Yankee fans, and they're always competitive to the playoffs and potentially could get to the World Series. I mean, they wanted the American League to win, and they wanted it really badly. And I don't know if you really looked into it.
Yeah, all 10 of them that were left at the stadium at the end of the game.
Well, at the end of the game, but I don't know. A lot of people were still there when Navarro was thrown out at the plate. When he touched third base, because they showed the camera angle of him touching third base, there was a huge roar in the crowd. I heard it through the TV. Every single person in the stadium got so excited. They thought Navarro was going to win the game. He was going to get in safely. I mean, they were really excited and really rooting for the American League. And unfortunately, he was thrown out. But the fans definitely are rooting for a specific team. Before it counted, maybe not necessarily, people would want the league of their choice. You know, they maybe would want the AL to win. If they didn't, wouldn't be as big of a deal. But now that it counts, people certainly do care while they're there.
Yeah, I agree. But back to what you were saying about being a starter, if it's better to be a starter or not to be a starter, it's still amazing being a starter. Just, like,
To be announced in the beginning with the starting lineup, that's always, you know, good.
Getting
the other players don't
get
that. Getting
to jog onto the field next to the all-stars over there, which was very cool.
Yeah, that was a nice ceremony that Major League did. There should have been more people there. Joe Moore, Hall of Famers. I mean, Tom Seaver didn't show up. Morgan certainly was in town, didn't show up. But overall, it was an excellent game. I liked the ceremony in the beginning. I just want to let all the listeners out there know, if you want to contact us throughout the show, you could call us, 718-508-9443. You could also IM us, gmen1021-1780. Or if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. We're going to take a 45-second timeout, and we'll be right back, sum up the game a little bit, and move in to the Yankees and the Mets.
For more information on Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, and to hear all of the past shows, as well as watch amazing sports videos, get up to the second scores and news for your favorite New York teams, and top headlines for your favorite sports, and so much more, log on to sportsheavenwithmarkandevan.webs.com. It's 14 pages of information and entertainment, and over 50 hours of Sports Heaven audio filled with the greatest guests on the Eastern Seaboard. It's all on sportsheavenwithmarkandevan.webs.com.
Okay, welcome back to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, episode 52. Evan, you have any last thoughts about the All-Star game before we move into the Mets and Yankees?
Not really. This is a great game. I'm happy the American League won, and because the Yankees seem to be creeping back, and hopefully we'll see them in the World Series.
Certainly will, and I guess that's a good transition into the Yankees, so we'll start with the Yankees. And here's the one thing that I have to say to all Yankees fans, and I'm a Yankee fan, I know Evan's a Yankee fan, but you cannot jump the gun right now. I know Mike Mussina, after the All-Star game, had a great game. I know Pettit did well. I know Jabba did well. But the Yankees pitching staff, I mean, they still have problems with Rasner and Ponce in there. And Mike Mussina, I mean,
I'm going 5-1 with a very good ERA. So.
I understand. But you have to understand, Mike Mussina, he's not going to get, it would be very tough for him to get another 9 or 10 wins. It doesn't seem realistic. I could be wrong. I was wrong about him early in the season.
Yeah, for all you viewers, I don't know if you remember, but in the beginning, before the season and even the beginning of the season when he started off good, when he started off playing well, whatever, Mark still always predicted Mike Mussina will not win more than 8 games. He didn't even just say that. He did something that he never normally does. He usually just says what he thinks. But for this, he's like, everyone, listen to me. Mark my word. Mike Mussina will not win more than 8 games. And he won 10 games in the first half of the season. So, Mark, I just hope that you feel dumb right now. That was the whole goal of this whole entire spiel.
Well, I think it would be ridiculous for somebody. He has performed higher than every single person's expectations coming into the season. I know you had high expectations for him, but overall and in general, you know, on whatever you're watching, YES Network, ESPN, anytime they're talking about Mike Mussina prior to the season, nobody expected him to do that well. He's performed
wrong.
Well, okay, that's another issue, but he didn't only perform above my expectations, he's been performing above everybody's expectations. He's been better than anybody assumed, but listen, I'm not going to make a win prediction
We have an in-guest. We have someone here, and I'm just curious. How did you expect Mike Mussina to do this season?
Honestly.
I did not think he was going to have a great year. However, I did think he was going to get more than 8 wins.
Thank you very much. That was
okay.
Jason,
and
our in-guest.
And is he having a great year?
Yes, he is.
He didn't expect him to have a great year, so he performed above his expectations.
More than 8 wins.
Okay. I made a bold prediction. But listen, he performed above his expectations. He performed above a lot of people's expectations, but I'm going to try to be realistic. He's getting up there in age. I don't think
that's why he's pitching well this season. He realizes that he's old, and instead of trying to outpower the opponents, he realizes that he's old, and he finds other ways to get batters out.
I agree. He's been very good with his location this year. That's been That's why he's been successful, and his pitches have a lot of movement on them. But Mike Mussina, I don't know how long he could go. This is a full season now. He's played one half, and I know he came back after the All-Star break, but that's it. There's no breaks anymore. It's just going to be every 5 days, and I don't know if Mike Mussina could pull out another 8 wins. Or 9 wins and really, you know, be a 20-game, 21-game winner.
I don't know if you realize something, but the first half is a lot longer than the second half.
I agree, but he played in the first half.
He did play in the first half, he got to rejuvenate during the All-Star break. And he's a professional athlete. He's not some old normal guy. He's a professional athlete.
I'm aware.
In tip-top shape.
I'm not saying that Mike Mussina is going to collapse. I don't think he's going to have a collapse, and now in his next 7 starts, he's going to have 7 losses with a 15 ERA. I'm not saying he's going to collapse, but I don't know if he'll continue this constant success that he's had so far this season. So I'm just trying to be realistic here and say I don't think Mike Mussina is going to be as effective, but he will still be effective.
Yeah, no. I hope that he's as effective, but we'll see.
But another guy that I do have a little bit more trust in now is Andy Pettitte. Andy Pettitte, his last few outings has not been that good, but today he went 8 innings. I believe he allowed 1 run on 4 hits. He struck out 9 batters. He was unbelievable today. I think he'll have a pretty good second half.
Well, I don't know. He's so old. I don't know. He pissed the entire first half of the season. He's been injured. I just don't know if he's going to be able to last.
Andy Pettitte, his career has been injury prone. He has a bad shoulder. He has a bad this, a bad that. Why do you say that Andy Pettitte is going to have a strong second half, but you don't say Mike Mussina is going to have a strong second half, who has never really been in injury trouble, always seems to be able to fight it out?
Because the difference is Mike Mussina is at an age right now, and Andy Pettitte, not any, you know, that much younger, or I don't know what the ages are.
Look it up.
I don't know, but I'll look it up in a second. Let me finish my thought here. No. They're both at ages that they're not going to be able to put up the same consistency in the first and second half, in my opinion. I don't think that they'll be able to do that because they're not, you know, Cy Young pitchers, these lights out guys. That's not the type of pitchers that they are. So I don't think either of them could hold that consistency. So that being said, Mike Mussina had a great first half, and he'll be as successful in the second half because he won't be as consistent. And the same with Andy Pettitte. His last few outings were not that good, and I think in the second half he'll be able to step it up a notch. And Andy Pettitte, you know, he's been on the Yankees a lot. He's been on their playoff teams. He knows how to play when they need to get wins. And I think in September, Andy Pettitte is the type of player that's going to be able to get the Yankees wins. He knows how to play in those situations. And I know Mike Mussina's been with the Yankees since 2001, but Andy Pettitte was with those World Series teams, and I think he can handle the end of the season better than Mike Mussina will be able to.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Okay answer without you mocking me? Is that an okay answer with you?
No.
Well, what's the problem?
No, I'm just kidding. Whatever. You're entitled to your own opinion. You know what, Mark? I hope that you just say that the Yankees are going to do horrible, but you're never right. So, I'm just kidding, Mark. You're always right.
I don't think you're that.
But hopefully the Yankees will be able to pitch strong, and they get into the playoffs. Michael Kay yesterday was saying that... No, that wasn't Michael Kay. It was...
David Cohen?
I don't remember who it was. But someone was talking, they were saying how in the beginning of the season...
Was this during the game?
Yeah.
So then it was either Singleton or Cohen.
No.
The guys he wasn't there yesterday, was he?
I don't remember.
And,
but anyway, someone was saying that the Yankees... started off the season not having a very strong pitching staff, but now especially when Kennedy comes back, and if they make another quick acquisition, the Yankees pitching staff is good, very good. So, I'm confident with three of their first starters, and then when Qingming Wang comes back, that's four very solid starters. Oh, Mark, he'll come back. He'll come back.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But another pitcher, Jabba Chamberlain, looks like he's certainly starting to get his command down. I believe in the start prior to yesterday, he didn't walk anyone. Yesterday, he only walked one. So Jabba Chamberlain's getting better with his command. I really like him. He's pitching well, but if Messina can keep it up and Pettit has a second half that I think he will, Jabba keeps it up, I mean, it could be an effective pitching staff. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, now they just need to improve their relief pitching a little bit.
Yeah, Jose Veras did not do well the other day. He's pitched well for a while. Then a few games ago, he gave up a home run. Yesterday, he didn't do so well. I think Jabba Chamberlain should have gone out for the seventh inning, but that's just me. So they definitely need to fix that bullpen up. And Mariano Rivera cannot pitch in an unsafe situation. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He comes in tons of tie games. He gives up runs. I mean, he cannot pitch in a non-safe situation. The adrenaline is just not there, and they really have to work with him on that. I don't know why he can't pitch in a non-safe situation, and it's been like that for almost his whole career. If it's not a safe situation, whether it's because they're losing, they're tied, or they're down by a lot, he can't pitch.
Yeah, I agree.
But shifting over to the Yankees offense, and then we'll go into the Mets. One guy that I just kind of have the spotlight on is Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano has really heated up, you know, the game before the All-Star game and coming back. I mean, he gets an RBI almost every game. He's getting 2-3 hits a game. Robinson Cano has really had a huge turnaround, and that certainly is a positive for Yankee fans. They also just got Richie Sexton, who is great against right-handed pitchers. Excuse me, great against left-handed pitchers, batting .344 against them prior to the other game he played in. I believe he pinch hit a little bit in yesterday's game and got himself a hit, if I remember correctly. But Richie Sexton's good against lefties, so not a bad acquisition there. But Robinson Cano really has turned it around. Yankee fans have to be happy. It's been a while, and I think very shortly, maybe by mid-August, or earlier, he'll have his average at 300 or more, and a couple of more home runs in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something devastating for the Yankees, though, is Hideki Matsui may need to get surgery, and that's not good.
Yeah.
Johnny Damon's hurt, who says he's ready to come off the DL, but he's been on and off the DL. He's been having some injury problems. That's a big problem with the Yankees. If they can stay healthy, and making me good, but they're injury prone, and you look at their lineup sometimes, it's just not that great.
I agree. You know, you have Wilson Bedemit in there a lot, who you don't want to see. Brett Gardner, who's really fast, but he doesn't get a lot of hits, although I think the other day he had two of them, so maybe he's starting to turn something around there. But Hideki Matsui, his season's probably going to end. Johnny Damon, he says he'll probably come back later on this week, so they'll get him back very soon, and then we won't see as much of Brett Gardner. But I think the Yankees can make a second half, and as you said earlier, they're creeping up. I believe it's only 4.5 games out now, pending the current Red Sox game. Bottom of the eighth, they're up 3-2 because of a Vladimir Guerrero error. But, I mean,
it might happen that often, but the Angels, they're looking good. They're looking pretty decent right now. They have a runner on second, no outs in the bottom of the eighth, and Howie Kendrick just came up to bat.
The Angels are very good. I believe they have the best record in the American League, and I think, as of the other day, the best record in baseball. I'm not sure really what it is now with them and the Cubs, but the Angels, I mean, they are really fantastic. They just got another run on a double. It's 4-2.
No, it's 3-3. Boston was winning.
Oh, that's my bad. So 3-3. So that's big right there for Yankee fans. And I mean, the Angels, as I just said, they're really good. Best record in the AL. It might still be in baseball, but really excellent stuff by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And what other thoughts do you have on the Yankees offense? You happy with Cano?
Yeah, he's getting better. Started off started off very slow, but is finally starting to hit. He's a second half hitter. Just if only he hit the first half like he hit the second half too, he'd be amazing. But at least he hits well when we need him.
Yeah, if he could play well down the stretch now and into September.
That's
Yankees.
The thing about a lot of the Yankee hitters, though. The Yankees in general, it's like they don't think that they need to try the first half of the season.
Well, I don't know if it's that they don't think they need to try, but...
When do you ever see them have a very solid first half? They like, take their time the first half. They don't really care. They stay around 500. Then the second half, they pounce, and they do amazing, and then they always die down in the playoffs. That's how
it's been
the last 7 years.
Well, it's really been... The Yankees tend to get up to a slow start. They'll have a slow April, and it may carry into May, and then starting mid-May, they'll start to pick it up. It's really been the last two seasons, including this season. You know, last season in July, that's when they really started to pick it up. I mean, they were fantastic. Now, this July, they have 3 wins in a row after the All-Star break, so it could be again where they really start to pick it up. I mean, the Yankees, I think, in the second half last year had 51 wins, something along those lines. I mean, they were just outstanding. They may have something similar this year, I don't know. But they never really suffered the whole entire first half. It's usually a slow April and into mid-May. I don't think...
Do you know what their record was at the break last year?
I don't, but I actually know a place that I could get it. So I'll find that out right now.
I know that everyone was panicking last season, so nervous about the Yankees. But I feel like they weren't even that they were like almost just as bad this season as they were last season around the All-Star break.
Now this season,
they have more teams to worry about, like Tampa Bay. When do you ever worry about Tampa Bay? But yet it doesn't seem like people are panicking as much. People just, they're the Yankees. They're going to make the playoffs.
Well, the common phrase with the Yankees is they know how to win. That's what you're going to continue to hear. That's just the way it is. I'm trying to remember.
A-Rod pisses me off this season more than ever. Have you ever seen him hit a home run when it was a close game?
No. He hit a home run the other day when they were up 6-1, right?
He hits a lot of home runs, but never. I wish I could see the score at every single time he hit a home run.
Well, I don't know where to get that. I'm still trying to find the record at the All-Star break last year. And we'll have our in-studio guest try and find that out for us right now. But unless you have anything else to add for the New York Yankees, I think now would be a safe time to move into the New York Mets. And we'll go right ahead and do that. The Mets, after the All-Star game, won their 10th straight game. And even if they lost that game, that was a back-and-forth game with the Cincinnati Reds on Thursday. Even if they lost that game, you still got the sense that they didn't really lose any momentum during the All-Star break, because it was really back and forth. The offense was there. You can argue that Johan Santana may have lost it. He didn't make it out of the fourth inning. Well, he completed the fourth inning, but then didn't come out. He really struggled on Thursday, but you didn't feel that sense of a loss of momentum. We were talking before the All-Star break if that would be a possibility. It doesn't seem to be the case after that first game. They lost the next two, and after they won against the Reds on Thursday, they lost on Friday and Saturday, and they only were able to score 2 runs in those last two games. So the two losses, they could only score 2 runs, but today they came back out on top. They won 7-5, so they got 7 runs. They looked much better today. But the other day, John Means struggled again. He's really been having trouble this season. They have to do something about him. I don't know if you want to get worried about Johan Santana. I know that he only went 4 innings, but Santana, he'll get you more wins. I know he hasn't been lights out like everybody has hoped for him to be this season. But I don't think it's too much concern. And what else do you have to add to the New York Mets right now? They've won 11 of their last 13.
They're hot. And, it's nice to see New York teams playing well again, but the Phillies always have an amazing second half, so it's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. What's with the standings now? Did the Mets regain first place today with the win?
They're tied for first place.
They're tied for first place now. So, I mean, the Mets really have made a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting for them. It really is. And
we have an update on the Yankees.
Last year, on today's date, we'll let them say it.
The Yankees were 49 wins with 46 losses last year and 7.5 games back from the Red Sox.
And this year?
This year they are 53-45, and they're 4.5 games back from Tampa Bay.
So they're looking a little better this year.
Yeah.
So,
3 games better.
So we got that update, although, well, we didn't get prior to the All-Star break, but close enough. What's this kid's name here? Jason. Excellent job there by Jason, who's joining us in the studio today. But we'll go back to the New York Mets now. You know, for the Yankees, I gave an offensive spotlight on Robinson Cano, and I want to give the Mets spotlight to Carlos Delgado. Carlos Delgado has really turned it on in his last 10 games. He's batting .471 with 3 home runs. I mean, he's really been hot. Fans were really on him early on in the season. He didn't go out for that curtain call that time. I mean, fans were not happy with him, but now he's really doing a fantastic job, and I got to give a lot of props to Carlos Delgado. He's having a great turnaround, in my opinion.
Yeah, he certainly is. He never really was doing that badly. He was always the power for the Mets this season because, you know, David Wright, he has a lot of RBIs, but he doesn't have that many home runs. And the rest, Carlos Beltran not having a spectacular year. So Delgado has been the main source of power for the Mets, but especially when they were struggling, he was really the only batter hitting home runs. And now the Mets are finally getting going. Reyes is certainly hitting well, and like I said, it's going to be a fun second half, a race between the Mets and the Phillies, and Marlins are definitely going to keep on fighting, and same are the Braves. That whole entire division, you got to look out for all those teams, because all those teams can very easily go on a run and take over that division.
And if the Marlins go on a run and they somehow get into the playoff, which I highly doubt, it would be great to see some fans in the outfield because they don't get any. And it's very unusual. I mean, they've won a World Series just a few years back. I mean, they don't get any fans. It's ridiculous, but kind of off topic. The Mets have played really well. Jerry Manuel has done a great job stepping in as the interim manager, and if he could get them far, interim will certainly be taken away from his title, as he will continue to be the manager into next season. But I think he would have to go really far into the playoffs. And if you hear any clicking in the background, Evan is having some technical difficulties with his phone, so we apologize for any clicking. And but Jerry Manuel really has done a good job. I think, in my opinion, I don't think just getting the Mets to the playoffs will be enough to bring him back. I would say that they'd have to get to the NLCS at least to bring him back. That's my opinion. But, Evan, what do you think? What does Jerry Manuel, in your opinion, have to do for him to come back next season?
I think that they certainly need to make the playoffs. And I think if they make the playoffs and they do well, I think he's going to come back next season.
How well?
I think as long as they make the playoffs, he'll come back.
Bet?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's the deal with the New York Mets right there. Again, if you want to call us, 718-508-9443. And Evan wants some miscommunication there. Sorry about that. And again, if you have anything to say, 718-508-9443. You can also IM us at gmen 1021-1780. You can also talk in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. If you have a Blog Talk Radio account, and the Angels have just taken a 5-3 lead in the bottom of the eighth over the Boston Red Sox. So
if the Red Sox lose today, I think the Yankees are only 2.5 games back. I'm talking about the wild card. I think they may only be like, can you check, Mark?
Let's see the wild card standings. It would change by a half a game because, let's see here. New York right now, well, they're 3.5 behind Boston, so it would be 3 games behind Boston. But Minnesota's still ahead of them in the wild card. They're only 1.5 games back behind Boston.
Yeah, but sweeping Oakland helped Yankees tremendously. The Oakland
definitely.
Was a game
they're
ahead
right
of
in
them.
It. They are right in it. And I think the Yankees in 1978 or something like that, one of those late 70 years, they were 11 games back after the All-Star game, and they came all the way back, had a tremendous season. Certainly not in that situation this year. And, I mean, they're really looking fantastic right now. The Mets are looking great right now. And you got to give credit to both New York teams. I still have some problems with Joe Girardi, the way he's managing the bullpen, and certainly, as Evan stated before, with the lineup. I mean, when he has the opportunity to put an A lineup in, he chooses not to, which can be very frustrating at times. But I now like, if it's late in the game, Giambi's at first base, the starter is a righty, Richie Sexton's not playing. You know, later in the game, if they bring in a lefty, and you want to, you know, put, well, let me think about it. Well, if Wilson Benamit's playing first base and Giambi's DHing, and then later in the game, I know Wilson Benamit's a switch hitter, but Richie Sexton definitely has more power than Wilson Benamit, and he's better probably against left-handed pitching. So if you see Wilson Benamit at first base, Sexton doesn't start late in the game, there's a lefty in, I like to see that you put Richie Sexton in there, and then you have Sexton and Giambi rather than Benamit and Giambi. That might be a little bit better for the Yankees, in my opinion. Could be wrong.
But Sexton against lefties is... is he good against lefties or righties?
He's good against lefties. He's hitting .344 against lefties prior to coming to the Yankees. He actually brought his average down in his first game by going 1-for-3, which is a .333 average. But he's very good at...
By 334 to 330. Never mind. Anyway.
But he's good against lefties. So, definitely positive. He's very good against lefties, though. I mean, it's not like he's okay against them. I mean, a 344 average, that's just outstanding.
It is. Hopefully he'll keep doing that.
All right, so what we'll do now is we will play a 3-minute commercial, which is not updated, but we'll play it anyway, and we'll update it shortly. And Alan Hahn from Newsday, Knicks beat writer, has been on our show, and so is Jason Starr from ESPN.com. He's an ESPN.com baseball analyst, and he's got the other guests that have been on our show.
Why is Sports Center with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had Newsday sports writer Jim Bambach on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, you know, we're not talking that, you know, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the Rangers. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical, and I don't think the Rangers' defense is as good as under them. But
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the 2 or 3 best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
The rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. 4 consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, you know, who's running the show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper, and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
discussion we've had, Yankees beat writer for MLB.com Brian Hoke on our show.
You know, if the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
And the list just continues on. We have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, on our show.
I don't think they're a lot by any stretch. I think they're certainly the favorite in the NL East. Certainly injuries could undermine the Mets, and they're the oldest team in baseball, so it's certainly susceptible to that.
And it doesn't end there. We have also had New York Jets cornerback Darrell Revis on our show.
So, overall, how satisfied are you in the way that you played your rookie season?
I'm not, trust me. My uncle, he's my biggest critic, and the year has passed, and it's a new year. It's a lot of more things that when I look back on film, I could have did better, and now this is my second year to overcome that and do a lot of more positive things in my game.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle.
Okay, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here. And while we're on the topic of past Sports Heaven episodes, if you missed it, 2 weeks ago we had our 50th episode. We had a three-hour show with five guests. You can listen to each interview separately by going to SportsHeaven with Mark and Evan.webs.com. Click on the past show link. We had NBC Sports anchor Bruce Beck, ESPN.com baseball analyst Jason Stark, Newsday Sports writer Jim Bombeck, Knicks beat writer for Newsday Alan Hahn, and New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox TV announcer Kenny Albert. All of those people making not their first appearance more than that, except for Alan Hahn and Jason Stark. We've had those guests on before. We've had a lot of great guests, as you just heard. So just catching you up on what's going on. And there is actually, if you heard the commercial earlier in the show, there is 14 pages on our official site. There's over 50 hours of Sports Heaven audio. So definitely check that out, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan .webs.com. All right. So now let's get back into what we were talking about before. Just an update with the Red Sox and the Angels, top of the ninth. They are playing in Anaheim, so the Red Sox are batting. There's one out, counts 1-0. But top of the ninth, 5-3 in favor of the Angels, and the Yankees can inch closer with a loss as the Angels try and close it out. So we'll keep you updated on that. If it goes quickly, the game should end before our show does. And good stuff with that. Since we have some time, we covered the Yankees and Mets, and we don't have any callers right now. If you want to call, 718-508-9443. There's one thing I want to mention with the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks deserve airtime because they're really bad. But there's one thing that I do want to mention. One of the Summer League games, Ronaldo Bachman left because he hurt his leg and he couldn't even walk. I mean, he had an ice pack that was held to his leg by an ace bandage, and I mean, he was on crutches, so that certainly didn't look good. I don't know if Bachman's a huge loss, and I don't have any updates on that. But in that same game, Danilo Gallinari didn't play. Now, one of the big differences between the Italian League and the NBA is the NBA is a lot more physical. And the game prior to when Bachman got injured, Danilo Gallinari played, and, he had a good time or whatever. But the following game where Bachman got hurt, Danilo Gallinari sat out that game because of soreness. So I think he's still trying to make that adjustment from the Italian league into the NBA, and he's not used to the physical play. And I think that's kind of a cause for concern for Knicks fans because Danilo Gallinari, with the physical play, got hurt, and then he couldn't play the next game. So he really needs to make that adjustment so that way he could play, a lot of games with the Knicks. I don't know how much playing time he'll get this year, but he's supposed to be a good ball handler. He's a very good shooter, and you don't want him to sit out due to soreness because he's not he can't handle the physical play of the NBA.
Yeah. Switching over to women's basketball, the Liberty played the first ever outdoor basketball game.
Did they?
Yes, they did. And they lost. But it was interesting. I watched some highlights.
I think the Liberty are actually having a decent season. I really have no idea about the Liberty, so don't take my word on it. But when I'm watching ESPN, I'm just looking at the bottom line. It seems like the Liberty always win. That's just me. I don't actually know if they're having a good season. But funny thing with the Liberty is sometime last week, I think the middle of last week or the end of last week, MSG had a career fair with the Rangers and Knicks, and you could go and apply for jobs. I didn't go, but someone I do know that was there, and just for showing up, they gave you a Liberty ticket, and very good tickets. It was actually Alan Moy who was there. He's been on our show. He went there, and he got a floor ticket right behind the hoop just for showing up at the career fair to a Liberty game. So that shows how much fans they're drawing. So maybe they're not having that good of a season. I don't know. But
maybe,
they don't draw fans.
Maybe people just don't like watching girls play basketball.
That's certainly a possibility. I don't know.
Not to be, stereotypical, but...
Well, the WNBA has not ever done as well as the NBA. I can't give you the exact reasons why. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes location is a problem. I think there's one WNBA team, I don't know what city it is, but they play at a Mohegan Sun, which is actually a pretty good idea because, you know, you go out to Mohegan Sun, you gamble a little bit, there's a better chance, hey, maybe I'll sit and watch this game for a little while. I don't know, but I don't know how many people are going to be walking in the city. I mean, in New York City, there's a billion things to do. I mean, Broadway shows and clubs and bars. I mean, there's a million things. No, but I mean, you know there's a ton of things to do in New York City. I don't know how many people are going to pass the Garden and say, oh, the Liberty are in town. Maybe I'm going to watch. I mean, it's highly unlikely. With Times Square, I mean, I'm not going to list all the things in New York City.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's so many people. And
yeah, I know, but there's so many other things to do. It's probably not likely, and it obviously isn't likely because they're forced to give away free tickets to get people to go and see the game. And another update from Anaheim, 5-3, top 9-3 and 2 count, strike 3, so that's the ball game. The Angels win, so now the Yankees are 3 games back in the wild card, so that is a huge plus, and now I guess it's I don't know where they are in the standings, but you said Tampa was in first, right? So,
weird that the Yankees are only 3 games back. You feel like they're so far back, then all of a sudden they're right there.
All right. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays, even though they are in first, they had that streak where they lost 7 in a row, so able to gain ground like that. And now the Red Sox lost, and the Yankees have won 3 in a row, so you couple all those things together, and you're 3 games back in the wild card. You're right there, and we'll see what Joe Girardi could do with this team. We're so used to seeing Joe Torre there. He knows what to do with these players. He got to the playoffs every year when he was there. We'll see how Joe Girardi can handle the team down the stretch. He was with the Marlins. He got manager of the year, so we know he can manage. But it's a different situation. He knows the players well.
Now, if you look at the upcoming schedule, the Yankees play Minnesota, who, Minnesota's in the rebuilding stage, but they're still very good.
They're 55-43, just a half game back in their division.
Yeah, they're...
The Yankees have a tough schedule coming up.
They're only a game and a half out of the wild card. And, you know, for a rebuilding team, it's pretty good. But it seems like they're always giving away pitchers, but they're always right there. They're very solid pitching rotation.
Joe
Miller,
Justin Morneau. So,
Yankees, you know, they can pass another team in the wild card standings if they can sweep them and just climbing their way up.
Yeah, but they are right there. And 5 minutes from now, the SBs are on. Unfortunately, that was taped already. Some things have leaked out. Team of the year, New York Giants. It's my team right there. It's a pretty good job by the Giants, winning the Super Bowl and all. Really random, though.
Overrated.
Yeah, maybe. And I hope I didn't give away anything for anybody who plans on watching it in 5 minutes and didn't hear that.
How'd you hear it?
From the media. I mean, they tell you. Leaks.
Who do you think's going to win Athlete of the Year?
athlete of the year, probably Tiger Woods.
Well, you realize he's been out.
I know, but still. That's just a prediction.
He doesn't even have to play. He still wins.
He's that good. He's that good. He doesn't even have to play. And
surgery.
Last 5 minutes of the show. You want to call us, 718-589-443. Also, I didn't even mention it. If you don't want to waste the phone call, if you have a headset for your computer, it's been around for a while, but I never seem to mention it. At the top of your little window there, you'll see a click the talk button. So you could just talk to us that way. That would be free. You wouldn't have to pay for a phone call into New York if you're not in the 718 area. But feel free to contact us if you'd like. And review the disclaimer while we have the time. Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan is a sports radio show created for informing the public of the latest sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the internet through blogtalkradio.com from Jericho, New York. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the host. We do not also claim ownership of any material used on the sports show or on the website, including musical beds, instrumentations, effects, team logos, league, and team names otherwise stated. If there's any material you wish to remove, email us sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com. Email us there for any other reason that you have as well. Visit sports7withmarkandevan.webs.com. One last thing quickly before we get off. One person has been on our show so many times, 7 times to be exact, Newsday sports writer Jim Baumbach. We spoke to him on our 50th show. He ran from Yankee Stadium to Shea Stadium. Early on in the season, I don't think we ever mentioned it, but he got to go up in a blimp. He asked if he could go up. I don't remember when it was, where it was. Definitely over a baseball game, I think, though. He got to go in a blimp. And just the other day, I was reading in Newsday, he played paintball with the new draft picks of the New York Islanders and some other newly acquired players of the Islanders. So he actually went to the Islanders camp just to see what was going on. They asked him to play paintball. They play paintball to try and get team unity, you know, working together, which isn't that bad of an idea, I guess. And Jim Baumbach was playing paintball with them, so I thought that was very interesting. I actually asked him to come on the show tonight to talk about the experience and the Yankees and Mets. But right now he's driving back from Cooperstown, so he's not able to do that. He said maybe next week. So we'll keep you posted on that. We might get Jim Baumbach on for an 8th time. He'll talk about his experience with paintball. And I know the blimp happened a while ago, but maybe we'll ask him about that too, because we never spoke about it with him. But Jim Baumbach has all these fun and exciting experiences. It's really fun to talk to him.
Certainly is. He's such a nice guy. It's always a pleasure having him on the show.
Certainly is. So with 2 minutes left, we'll sign off. We'll be back. Same time next week. Same place, same great show. It's Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. I am Mark Elliott.
And I am Evan Brandoff, and we'll see you next week.
And again, thank you to our intern of the day, Jason, who joined us in studio. We'll leave you with Sweet Caroline, performed by Neil Diamond. See you next week, 8 p.m. on Sunday, Eastern Time.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm, reaching out.